Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 18th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am ecstatic to be here.
You know, I'm pretty darn ecstatic, too. Yeah. Also, Bob Levitis. How are you, Bob?
Ecstatic.
Clearly. It's almost like a Tesla love fest. No, that's static.
And yeah, Bob, given that your sound is actually good now as opposed to pre-show, you are ecstatic as well.
I am ecstatic. Yes.
I see what you did there.
We excised the static.
That's right.
Well played. Yeah. Hey, I thought, speaking of well played, the first thing we could talk about today is the announcement that Apple Music Festival is coming.
Wait, isn't that the iTunes Music Festival?
I love how you set that up for me. You rock.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So last year it was called iTunes Festival, and actually that's what it's been called ever since the event started in 2007. And this year, though, it is called Apple Music Festival. So it renamed because now there's Apple Music. And the other big change, by the way, this is the London event. So this is one that's at Roundhouse. The other big change is that instead of being a month long, it's now going to be 10 days long, which I thought was a very interesting change. And I'm curious what you guys think about the new Apple Music Festival.
Well, first, I hope that because iTunes isn't in the name, it means that iTunes is going to die soon. But that would be hoping too much.
I think you're hoping too much.
I know.
That is an interesting concept, though. I get why they would call it the Apple Music Festival regardless of that.
Right.
Right. I mean, it makes more sense.
But
right.
I hope, you know, I hope and pray that also means that they're getting ready to ditch iTunes.
Oh, so I'm gonna let this tangent ride here, if you don't mind, Jeff.
Sure.
You know, I have been in the camp of iTunes haters. I firmly in that camp. But I am not there today. And I'm talking about iTunes, the app, just in case we're, you know, confusing all of the places that Apple confuses it. One of the things that I really like about iTunes is it is still a made-up name. So that when you're searching for something on the internet, you can search for iTunes and find it. Because searching for photos and pages and numbers and music sucks.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to use quotation marks. And dude, call it Photos app.
Yeah, I know. But then you still don't get everything. But that's actually
it's
not
terrible that they have generic names. It's like naming an app Kleenex.
Or naming your operating system Windows.
Yeah, like that. Except they did that before Google existed, so it really wasn't a problem.
Yeah,
you can't blame
them.
They didn't know it was going to be a problem. Yeah, but that's actually that was humorous and fun. But that's not the reason I don't hate iTunes anymore. I don't hate it because it's actually pretty darn stable. The one and I certainly don't believe that it necessarily needs to be barfed out into, you know, six different apps. I do believe that the app or the portion of it that syncs with my iOS devices should be barfed out to a separate app, which of course it was initially with iSync, right? Years and years and years ago.
You know, it's funny you say that, Dave, because just this morning, and just so our listeners know, this is not a conversation Dave and I have had before right now.
Oh, this was a hijacked during the show conversation. That's right.
Yeah. The whole iSync thing, this morning I was thinking, why doesn't Apple just spin the sync feature out of iTunes and bring back iSync? Because that worked great.
Yeah, well, but otherwise, I think it's fine to leave everything in there. And I don't treat my Mac like I do my iOS devices, where it's actually good to have a separate app to do different things, because it's frankly the easiest way. If you've got too much depth in any one app, it becomes difficult to figure out where you are or how to get there.
You know what? I think you're right. I think if sync were separated out, then it could be a great media managing library player app in and of itself. But the way it is now, having just written a chapter about it, it's horribly confusing. It's really, for somebody that's never used it, it might be clear. But for people who grew up with the old look and feel of iTunes, you're constantly looking for, how do I do that now? Or where do I change it back to the list I used to like? You know, and all of a sudden I got pictures everywhere. I don't want them. Where's the thing to make them go away again? And so for most longtime users, it's just always getting in the way of doing stuff that we've done for years the same way, like making playlists, the whole new interface for making playlists. It's not terrible, but it's not nearly as easy as finding what you want and dragging it into the sidebar.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but I also...
Things like that. It's just chock full. I could make a long list, and in fact, I think I will, because I'm writing a song.
Well, that's good. Maybe they'll feature that song at the Apple Music Festival, and there we've talked about it again. Yeah,
unlikely, since the title is iTunes Must Die.
Yeah, well, there's that. But still, Apple does not build products for longtime users, and they are totally fine abandoning
That's
something
a really good point.
That they've
That's
done
true.
For a long time. They don't care That's about true. You, right? They care about... They do care about the new people. I mean, they do care about you, but that's just because you're you in general.
That's not true. They don't care about their old users at all, and I'm one of them. I'm old.
Right. Well, that's it. Yeah,
I'm older than both of you put together, almost.
Well, yes, you are absolutely right. I'm sure of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Old.
Yeah. Old. So I don't think iTunes needs to be blown away. I agree. There are things about it that don't work the way that I got used to initially. Whether that means that those are actually better or not, it's hard to say. I built those, and I'll plug them again. I built those Obama playlists, right? Obama released his playlist on Friday on Spotify, his two summer playlists, and I was bummed that I couldn't play them in Apple Music. And then I thought, well, that's stupid. I can create them in Apple Music. So I did, and then I shared them. And
I'll have links in the show notes so everyone else can enjoy them.
Awesome. But, you know, it wasn't... It wasn't that bad building those playlists right from Apple Music. I just dragged and magically, you know, the sidebar appears and you just drop it where you want and it goes away. You know, that sidebar is there when you want it. You just have to believe that it will be there.
That's exactly it. And for a new user, I think that's taking a leap of faith, expecting them to know that dragging to the right will make that happen. There's no indication of what to do. Whereas when you've got the sidebar on the left, you can see what your target, you know. It doesn't just magically appear when you do the right gesture and dance just right. so.
Right.
I think maybe it's trying to be too much. I think maybe, I don't know, you know. I think taking sync out would be a great leap forward because a lot of the confusion has to do with, well, wait, am I in syncing mode or am I in listening and browsing mode and... Yeah. How do I get this over there? Since when you turn certain things on, you can't move things you used to be able to move.
Right.
You know, it just gets really confusing. I can't tell you how many people call me up and say, how do I sync this and this? Well, you can't anymore because you turned on the iCloud stuff, so you're done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, taking the sync out would go a long way towards making it more usable. I also think that, you know, I know Apple doesn't do focus groups and user testing, but I think in the case of this app, it might pay off.
Yeah.
All right. See how people use it and, you know, maybe make some of the things people do a lot easier.
So I'm going to pretend for just a second
that was what we intended to talk about.
Well, no, that I actually have any semblance of control. I know how this works.
Dave, and, we hijacked this show again.
Yeah.
But okay, so I actually do have a Apple Music Festival question for you guys. Since it's a 10-day event instead of a month-long event this year, my assumption is Apple has decided for some reason that they need to scale back the event. And since they're doing that, I'm wondering, are they going to do like they did before where they have a second event in Austin? So do you think that's gone as part of the scale back?
Well, South by Southwest is in March, which is kind of like 6 months, you know, the opposite side of the year. It would make sense if they're scaling back to be there. That's a very in place for Apple to be. And an event that Apple typically doesn't take part in, South by Southwest. So, you know, it gave them a lot of presence here.
But they didn't do that this year, right? It was last year that they did it, correct?
It was last year.
So if they do it, it would have been after skipping a year, if we look at it that way.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming back. I mean, I live in Austin, and I don't feel any vibe that it's coming. But then it was a big surprise to everyone here when it was announced the first time. So
I was just going
to
say, they took over the W, right, and did it all there? Is that right?
Yes, at the full theater.
That theater is awesome. I was there when it opened, for the South by Southwest that it opened. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing Weird Al there tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
No, Thursday. Yeah, I'm very excited. I've never seen him, and now he's famous.
We saw him. Oh, you weren't there. We didn't see him play, but Chuck Joyner, Don McAllister, and I saw him. He was signing books somewhere in Vegas along that boardwalk, or that's part of some hotel, because they all are. Wherever. But he was there signing books. It's like, hey guys, look, there's Weird Al. They're like, oh yeah, look at that. So,
well, yeah. I'll let you know how the show is, and with any luck at all, I'll get a little video action that you can get a taste.
Yeah, say hi to Larry London for me.
Will do.
Awesome. Hey, listeners, you can help support Mac Observer by spending the money you're already going to spend on new Apple gear, but let me say that again in a way where I can actually complete a sentence. If you guys are about to buy new Apple gear and you want to support Mac Observer at the same time, go to macobserver.com/Apple Store. And when you do that, that ends up giving us a referral kickback from Apple as a little thank you for sending you their way. Which means that you get that new MacBook Pro or iPhone or whatever it is that you want, and we get a little bit more money to make sure that we keep our servers running and that we're paying our writers as they rightly deserve, and that we have the bandwidth we need to make our podcasts come out to you. So check it out, macobserver.com/Apple Store, and you won't be paying any more than you would have otherwise for your products, but we get a little something out of that, and that's just a neat little way for you to say thank you.
All right. I just added a bookmark for it.
Thank you. You've got to click on the link once you get to that page. There's a thing.
It gives you more than one. It gives you also
iTunes, yeah, right,
and Amazon and Mac Mall, and I'm going to do all my shopping from here.
There you go.
Awesome.
Because I'm Mac Observer.
Yep, I have some shopping I need to do later this afternoon on Amazon, and I will be using our special affiliate link to make sure that a little bit of that goes back to TMO.
Why not?
So I guess in that sense, I'm doing my part to fund my paycheck. I'm welcome.
I'm welcome.
Okay. Before we wrap up, there's one other thing that I wanted to take a look at, and this is the news that there's this new security flaw that has been discovered at T-Pone, and it was discovered by some guy in Italy, and what it does is it lets an attacker get root control over your Mac running Yosemite without them needing to have a password, and they don't need to be sitting in front of your computer to make this happen. And the security flaw, he posted online on Sunday. This happens a lot where security researchers will post the information that they have about a security flaw. By and large, what they do, though, is offer the company that's going to be affected by this a little bit of a courtesy, and they let them know ahead of time so that they can work together, and maybe by the time the exploit is revealed, there's a fix available or about to be available. Not in this case. This guy posted his information online, didn't tell Apple or anyone. It was just, boom, there.
That's not even the fun part. He also offers a patcher that he made that's not approved by Apple, of course. Would you run that on your? I mean, come on.
I haven't run it on mine. No.
Would you even download it?
No, I should though. I mean, I should download it and check it out because of what we do here. But
yes,
right. No,
on a machine that doesn't have any internet access.
Yeah, right.
In a lead-lined room.
Yeah. It. I mean, it. It. it does create a nice little fun game for both the malware creators and Apple to race to the finish line. But it's not cool that he did it this way.
No, it's not cool. There's nothing that says when you discover a security flaw that you need to notify the manufacturer before you do anything else. That is, however, the gentleman's rule or the gentleman's agreement.
Yeah.
And I also think that if you discover a security flaw, especially something like this, where you are exposing something where hackers can potentially just take control over someone's computer, to not give the manufacturer, in this case Apple, a heads up is irresponsible.
I agree with that.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
it's a jerk move, is what it is.
Yeah, thanks, Luca, or whatever is.
Yeah, Luca Tedesco. That's right. Yeah,
yeah, thanks, Luca.
I hope that this was more him not realizing that there's a better way to do this as opposed to something malicious. I mean,
I agree. I hope it's just that he didn't know he should
just ignorance.
Talk to Apple first. Well, yeah, and if he's a kid, maybe he doesn't know, and then he thought, how am I going to get in touch with Apple? I'm not a developer.
Yeah, I have no way. And he did, I mean, again, assuming it's all on the up and up, and we haven't tested it, and I feel like we need to say that, but he did put his own patch out. I mean, he did these things that appear to be the doings of a responsible person.
But
he
could just, also very easily be the doings of a nefarious, no good
Nick. Correct.
Yes, but yeah. What's the adage? Never attribute to malicious activity anything that can be easily explained through stupidity.
That's right. Yeah, malice versus ignorance.
Yep. There we go.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Great graphic in your article too, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoy the graphic set that I make.
That's a really fun one.
Thanks. Yeah.
All now right. I know what that thing looks like. I'll watch out for it.
That's exactly what T-Pone looks like, which sounds a lot like a female Vulcan name when you think about it.
Hmm.
Trivia for you. Male Vulcan names start with an S. Female Vulcan names start with a T.
You could have given him Vulcan fingers, you know.
I could have, and yet I didn't. Maybe next time around. Okay,
just a thought.
So we've talked about how we feel about the exploit being revealed. I think it's important we let people know that this is not something that we have seen being exploited yet. But knowing that this information is out there and has been for a couple of days, I expect that we're going to see reports of exploits coming up soon. And instead,
do we know the precise mechanism by which it spreads? I mean, is there something you can do, like close a port or turn off a service to avoid it?
The best advice right now is to not be stupid online, and by that I mean practice safe internet surfing. Don't go to websites that may be less than trustworthy.
But you would have to do something. There's some action required on the part of the user. In other words, they have to social engineer you into doing something, because it's not giving them the password, but downloading something, let's say, or running something that doesn't require a password, or running a JavaScript on a weird website and infecting you that way. Okay.
Right.
But you have to do something. You can't just be sitting at your computer doing nothing and have it come in the back door silently.
Correct.
You are correct. That will not happen.
Okay. Yeah. I think the listeners want. I kind of knew that, but I thought maybe we should make it clear.
Yes. And it was important that we make it clear. So stay away from websites that
have dubious names.
That have dubious names.
Or dubious purposes.
Or dubious content. Don't install apps on your Mac that don't come from trusted sources. So stick with the app developers you already know and trust, and stick with the app store. And for now, you should be okay. And hopefully Apple will have a patch out very soon. This affects all versions of Yosemite. When El Capitan is released, you won't have to worry about the T-Pone threat there because it doesn't affect El Capitan. So that means that in the next few weeks when El Capitan is released, if you update to that, you'll be protected as well. So there we go. Another security threat out there. Yay, hackers. And we're out of time.
For a change.
Yeah, I know. It's a shock every single day. Dave, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you here. It's also awesome, Bob, that you are here.
Well, thanks. Thanks for letting us hijack your show again.
Oh, sure thing. I totally get how this works. This is much like herding cats. And like our listeners, in many instances, I am simply along for the ride. And that's okay. Life's an adventure. I'm okay with that. Listeners, thank you for being here with us again today. We'll see all of you tomorrow.